A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A bright light explodes into colors. The colors float through space. Words appear 13.8 billion years ago.
After the Big Bang, the universe was just filled with this sort of cosmic soup of hydrogen and helium gas.
A Netflix documentary series.
Eventually, those hydrogen and helium atoms started to form together to fuse stars.
Gas fuses to form a gigantic burning star.
The stars were probably grouped into galaxies.
Galaxies appear in space.
That was what we call the first light.
A view in space shows countless stars.
To see first light, the first galaxies in our universe. That distant past is where creation happened.
Stars and galaxies are shown in space.
When we look at the sky, beyond the stars in our Milky Way, we can only see darkness.
Shooting stars appear.
We've never had the technology to see that first part of the story of the universe.
Scientists turn a telescope in a laboratory
to be able to look back in time to see the very first light. You need the most complex telescope in history.
Webb, in the whole history of NASA's riskiest mission ever done.
This mission could be a technological triumph or a heartbreaking disaster.
We're putting the largest telescope in space, a million miles away. You know, you can think of a thousand things that can go wrong.
It's the largest number of single point failures of any mission ever done.
An exploding ship is shown.
Try to think the unthinkable of if it doesn't work. It's a scary thought, for sure.
Any successful mission systems engineer who doesn't think there was luck involved is either a fool or a liar.
A view from below shows a rocket launch. The telescope sails through space. The telescope sails towards a bright galaxy in the distance. A star shines in the center of the galaxy.
Those first images will help us get closer to answering those questions of where do we come from? How do we get here? Are we alone?
Stars glisten.
That's our history right there.
It is our whole history.
Our whole history is right there.
I have no doubt that this telescope is our next giant leap in our search for life.
A galaxy swirls.
The universe is so big, there's got to be evolved conscious life out there. The James Webb Space Telescope will fundamentally change the way we understand the universe.
A blue core is surrounded by red layers dotted by stars. Stars shine in space. Title: The Unknown. Cosmic Time Machine. In a laboratory, a view below moves upward, showing the body of a rocket ship.
There's a new telescope in town.
The James Webb Space Telescope, named after the second administrator of NASA, is about to become a reality.
Scientists load the telescope into the rocket.
It's going to be launching from French Guiana, a spaceport there, which is a reminder that this is not just a NASA mission, it is a joint mission with the European Space Agency and the Canadian Space Agency.
An ESA rocket is shown.
3 decades and $10 billion in the making. The project hasn't been without controversy. Multiple mishaps, budget crises, even a threatened congressional cancellation.
Inside the car, a gray-haired man removes his seatbelt.
The launch of the James Webb Space Telescope is about as high stakes as it gets for NASA. If something goes wrong, that is about $10 billion, more than 2 decades worth of work down the drain, just like that.
Hey, how are you doing? Doing well.
Thomas Zurbrücken is the head of science at NASA, or Dr. Z, as we can also call you. The day has come.
Engineers wear masks.
All these decades, all this time, all these people working on this telescope, and here we are, minutes to launch.
We have this telescope on top of this rocket, a telescope that 10,000 plus people have worked on in many ways, and together with that telescope, all the hopes and dreams of those individuals, and also tens of thousands of scientists, some of them not even born, that will benefit from these data are there with them waiting for these last minutes of countdown for its journey to space.
Thumbs up, all systems are go. T-minus 30 seconds and counting.
Webb, in the whole history of NASA, is the toughest mission ever done.
Thomas Zurbrücken.
There were manufacturing issues, planning issues, system issues, personnel issues. Sometimes it looked hopeless to me.
Standing by for terminal count.
A launch is shown.
I've often thought of whether it's the Apollo of science.
Steam rises from a rocket.
It is a super hard thing that's almost impossible. And we do it despite it.
The rocket's engine fires up. Dr. Z watches the launch. He wears a mask. Words appear. 3 months earlier. A woman wearing a backpack opens a glass door and walks through. Words appear. Goddard Space Center, Greenbelt, Maryland.
It's been a really long road to get to this launch.
Amber Strawn.
I've worked on the project for 15 years. I feel like such a core part of my identity as a person is my job, my work, because I love it. I'm passionate about it. That's why I do it.
To try to think the unthinkable of if it doesn't work, like, and then I've poured my entire career into this. It's a scary thought for sure.
A picture of Amber standing near Apollo 11 is shown.
I mean, from the time I was 6 or 7, I decided that that's what I want to do. I want to be an astronomer.
A picture of Amber on a tractor is shown.
I grew up in rural Arkansas on a little farm, middle of nowhere. There were no city lights around. It was very dark. The sky was beautiful. And I was just enthralled by the night sky from the time I was a kid.
A rocket soars through the sky. Words appear. Hubble telescope launch, April 24, 1990.
I was in 4th or 5th grade when Hubble launched.
We have been given the go-ahead to begin commanding a release of the forward latches.
Footage of a telescope in operation is shown.
We're seeing both blankets unfurl on the solar array.
Looks good.
A scientist takes a picture.
I want to wish Hubble its own set of adventures, that it may unlock further mysteries of the universe.
The telescope hovers in space.
They decided to point it at a blank piece of sky. Nothing there, just to see what happened.
Hundreds of galaxies are shown in space. A galaxy is shown up close.
Like the rest of the world, I remember just being stunned at what we saw.
Galaxies are shown from different angles.
The nothing turned out to be filled with thousands of galaxies.
Galaxies appear from different angles.
And really gave us a sense for the very first time just how old the universe is.
Galaxies hover inside clouds of gas.
It's a really cool sort of trick of physics that we can literally look back in time with these massive telescopes.
A telescope points at the sky.
Telescopes are really like time machines in that they let us see the universe as it was in the past. This sounds like science fiction, but it's actually just due to the simple fact that light takes time to travel through space. If you look at a street lamp, the light from that street lamp takes a teeny tiny of a fraction of a second to cross the street and get to your eye. Light from the sun takes about 8 minutes to get to Earth. Think about stepping that out further and further into the universe. Things that are much further away, the light takes more time to travel to our telescopes. And so we are literally seeing them as they were in the past.
The Hubble telescope is shown in space.
With Hubble, we've been able to look back into the distant past and see some very early galaxies, some very young galaxies, but
an infographic is shown.
We're missing the beginning. We're missing the first bit in the first chapter of this 13.8 billion year story of the universe.
A lecture is shown.
We want to look out into the vastness of space and back to the beginnings of time to answer the questions.
Dan Golden.
How did and how do galaxies form?
Golden stands at a podium.
Are there other habitable planets outside our solar system? Is life unique, the planet Earth? Hubble and ground-based telescopes have given us an important start, but we must go farther, and the next generation space telescope, NGST, will be the next great step taken.
A packed audience is shown.
That's what ended up being the James Webb Space Telescope.
The James Webb Space Telescope is shown.
Webb is such a leap. It's the biggest leap of any mission in terms of just the magnitude of improvements in all dimensions. This is like the mother of all telescopes.
Dr. Z.
It was clear that there's 10 miracles that needed to happen. Entirely new technologies that nobody had ever done. A totally new detector, totally new electronic system that focused the mirrors, 10 of those. One of the most important numbers is how many single point failures do you have? A single point failure is a single thing that needs to happen, that if it's not happening, the whole mission is a failure.
A parachute opens.
Navigation has confirmed that the parachute has deployed and we are seeing significant deceleration.
Landing on Mars is something like 80 to 90, which is one of the riskiest things we've ever done. Webb is 3 to 4 times worse.
Apollo 11.
Oh, it's beautiful, Mike, it really is. They've got the flag up now and you can see the stars and stripes.
1969.
In terms of the single point failures, worse than Apollo.
Men work inside the ship. Single point failures calculate.
So how many single point failures do we have? The answer is 344. It's the largest number of single point failures of any mission ever done. It's like, you know, just an impossible project.
Windshield wipers clear a window. Words appear, Baltimore, Maryland. The man driving the car lights a pipe. Words appear, Mike Menzel, lead engineer.
There's always unknown unknowns in this business. We know it. In the end, you know, technically, it'll all fall on my shoulders. You just make the best decision that you can with the data that you have available, but you recognize that there's always a little bit of risk to some of these decisions.
Mike walks up to a house. He goes through the door.
Cat? Oh, lighten up, killer.
For the past 24 years, I've been focused on this mission. It's like a, you know, a second child in a way.
A photo is shown.
My children have known nothing but the James Webb Space Telescope since they were about 9 or 4. My son is 30 now, and my daughter's 28.
Mike sits with a woman.
The fear that you have to have is if something goes wrong, there's going to be the press, there's going to be the, you know, the politicians, whatever. They're going to drag your name through the mud.
He worries about everything. It's a Menzel gene, actually. They worry about every little thing.
Kathy Menzel.
He's not sleeping well at night. All these single point failure things that could go wrong, you do worry about those, and you know.
Damn right I do. Damn right the team does. So that's why we put vigilance on them. We put focus on them.
Mike lifts a briefcase. He removes documents from the briefcase.
These are some of the original concepts on what was then called the Next Generation Space Telescope.
The bigger the mirror, the more light you're collecting. So to actually see first light, you're gonna have to be big.
A diagram is shown.
We had five concepts that we looked at. This was an original one. The devil in these designs are in the detail. So it isn't until you get to, you know, some detailed engineering that looks like this that you find the problems.
The most obvious problem, its diameter is bigger than the diameter of the rocket that carries it. So you have to fold it up.
We had deployments that had the primary mirror segments stacked almost like a record player. And then one of the concepts that we had was to deploy the primary mirror using two leaves that look like a drop table, which is what we're doing now. Our preliminary design review was 2008, and that's where the telescope starts really looking like what we have today.
A diagram of the telescope is shown. He places the model on his desk.
It's not one of the best models of Webb, but it's good enough to show most people the features. There's the primary mirror. Starlight comes in, hits the primary mirror, gets focused down to the secondary mirror, and gets sent into this black pyramidal structure. After that, goes back here where the instruments are, the cameras, the spectrometers.
Mike gingerly lifts the model.
And I'm sorry, the glue is coming a little loose on this, but this right here is the sun shield.
Two scientists stand in the center of the telescope's sun shield.
The sun shield blocks out the light from the sun, the earth, and the moon. We want our telescope to be cold so that it doesn't glow brighter than the faint stars it's looking at. Of the 344 single point failure items, 225 are associated with the sunshield deployment. That is a never-before-done deployment.
Scientists work around the sunshield.
The first thing that happens, those two big pallets that you see on each side,
Fold down one, then fold down the other. They're holding the folded layers of the sun shield.
A scientist works on the pulleys.
Then a very complex system of pulleys and tensioning motors expand the sun shield at each of the six vertices.
The sun shield expands.
And we will individually tension each of those five layers to get not only the right shape, but the right position relative to each other. There are 34 single point failure items associated with the tensioning of the five layers.
Layer two, on three, two, one.
Scientists turn cranks.
The thing that's really different from this space mission to pretty much any other space mission ever done is how flimsy it is. It's not a piece of metal. It's more like a folded up umbrella.
A scientist takes pictures.
We did three full-scale deployments, and the refolding put wear and tear on the sun shield. The tearing of the sun shield that we were seeing got to the point where we said, no, it's time to stop testing and overtest.
The sun shield expands and contracts.
When you're doing things like, you know, large sheets.
Scientists sort cables.
It's miles of cables. Things that can get tangled, can go in places you don't want them to in zero G. You know, you can think of 1,000 things that can go wrong.
The telescope expands.
We bust it up, fold it up. We're going to put it on a rocket, and we're going to literally rebuild it robotically in space. And that's never been done before.
A second panel lifts. A crane hovers over the sun shield.
14 days after launch, we latch both sides of the primary mirror. There are 10 single point failure items associated with the primary mirror, five for each wing.
Scientists lay on metal plates. They lift a piece of the telescope.
Having 18 individual segments was a good way to build the mirror.
Scientists position the mirrors.
Each individual mirror is movable. That helps us to position each of those hexagons to robotically focus our telescope. It's going out about 1 million miles away from the Earth, 4 times farther than the moon. You don't want the telescope cracking, breaking, when it gets down to cryogenic temperatures.
Words appear. Cryogenic testing 2017, Amber Strong.
NASA actually retrofitted the biggest cryovac chamber down at Johnson Space Center. It was used for Apollo era. It took years to be able to accommodate this huge telescope.
A large seal locks the telescope away.
It's the size of a three-story building, tested at temperatures, you know, 50 degrees above absolute zero, and it worked great. That's almost miraculous.
Scientists rotate the telescope.
There was this awesome day at Goddard that people have been looking forward to for years, really. They raised it upright and rotated it towards the viewing area. And we all got to see that mirror. And that was just a, like, whoo, don't start crying moment. I mean, because you're seeing your own reflection in the same mirror that's going to detect light from infinite galaxies and distant planets. And to think that it's also seeing me, like, that was really cool.
A scientist shines a light over the telescope.
We've designed this telescope specifically to see the universe in infrared light.
Galaxies are shown in space.
The most distant galaxies are so far away that they are emitting all of their light as infrared light, light that's a little bit more red than what your eyes can see.
Galaxies turn red.
Even if we had a telescope like Hubble, a visible light telescope that was much, much, much bigger, we still wouldn't be able to see the light from these first galaxies.
A scientist lays under the telescope.
While we designed this telescope to primarily study early galaxies, the fact that it's so big and so powerful means that it will have unprecedented capability in helping us learn more about exoplanets, about planets orbiting other stars.
Saturn is shown in space.
In particular, about whether or not any of the nearby planets might be potentially habitable.
The moon orbits the Earth.
The way it will do that is by looking at the molecules that are in that planet's atmosphere.
Mars is cloaked by shadows.
It would be able to detect methane, carbon dioxide, water vapor.
The sun shines.
Where there's water, there's usually life.
Tiny organisms move.
It's not a stretch to say that this telescope is our next sort of giant leap in our search for life in the universe.
Dr. Z.
I mean, how amazing would it be if I said, look, here are five planets. It looks like there is life there. Can you imagine? That changes everything.
Words appear. 1 month to launch. Dr. Z jogs down a street.
Webb is humans at its best. A selfless pursuit of what's really out there. Learning more about ourselves, our history, about the world itself. I think it's incredibly amazing.
A picture of Dr. Z as a young man appears.
I grew up in Switzerland.
A family picture flashes.
My father was an evangelist, pastor in a fundamentalist church. We hardly ever heard about science. I was taught all my youth that the whole universe was built in 7 days.
A picture of Dr. Z as a teenager appears.
And then I went to one class. The teacher explained how science changed the trajectory of history. And I thought, that's the job I want. I can do science and through it, change the course of history.
Dr. Z runs through the street.
I've been in the job for 5 years. Many people think of me as not patient enough. My way of accountability sometimes can come across as harsh.
He slows his pace.
But suppose it failed. It would set the whole history of world science back by 1 to 2 decades. I track all my miles.
Dr. Z checks his cell phone.
The whole year. 1,000 is the goal every year. Depending on how stressful the year is, it's more or less. The more stress, the more miles. Closing in on 1,200. NASA, right? This is the agency that has coined the tagline, failure is not an option. It's a tagline that sounds really good. But every time we do a mission, failure is an option.
1998, a full lecture room is shown.
There are all these challenges from the very beginning.
This institute will be managing a telescope with a launch projected for 2007.
The target price for doing this will be $500 million.
The first time somebody talked about the price of that telescope, everybody who had worked on the Hubble Space Telescope, which was more than $6 billion, knew it's total bullshit. As the project grew, all of a sudden, the cost went to $6 billion.
2011.
Mr. Howard, did you ever see the movie called The Money Pit?
Mr. Howard.
Yes, absolutely. I think the standard line in that movie was, it's only 2 more weeks.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can we justify this to our constituents?
There was an investigation by Congress. So
thank you for that question.
And they basically said, let's kill that thing.
Amber.
Felt like it wasn't going to happen. Congress was going to cancel us. It was a shock. I'm a young scientist anxious to do science with this telescope, and now we're stopping after all this time.
Congress said, we'll give you the money, and that's when I came in.
A graph appears.
Nobody wanted to talk about it. And it's like, oh, it's not, it's fine. It's like, well, how are you performing? Well, we're losing time, but it's gonna be fine. It was not fine.
Words appear. Vibration and acoustics testing, 2017 to 2018.
I remember it getting ready for vibration and acoustics.
Scientists move the telescope in a laboratory.
What you do is you try to break the telescope. Of course, you want it to survive, but you shake it just like it will be shaken in a rocket. And we blasted sound at it, just like it will see during a launch.
Pieces of plastic near the telescope move. The entire telescope vibrates.
The first test went really, really well.
The telescope is shown from below.
Then when we tested it with the spacecraft and the sun shield, the faster started falling down. There's 10,000 screws on that thing. Now, if you've ever fixed a bicycle, you realize that if you put the fastener on, you need to tighten it so it locks. The fasteners were not locked. How can that be? It needs to go to space. The fasteners need to be locked.
Gloved hands, sort tools.
So we had to redo all the fasteners, find all of them. It took 6 months and cost $150 million to fix the problem. Frankly, people are making more mistakes than they should. It's embarrassing.
An article reads, NASA's great next thing is plagued with errors.
In the meantime, we got the largest number of negative news stories of that mission as compared to any and all of them.
More articles are shown.
Nobody wants to be part of a stinker. Everybody wants to be part of a success. Just like any sports team, you need to turn it around. You need to stop losing.
A man wearing a protective suit walks through the door.
The team, they were always amazing people.
Others follow.
I consider it a leadership issue.
Do you run the risk of scratching and damaging the mirror, so you have to be very careful about that?
What I needed to do is replace leaders to bring that team together and create the attention that it requires to do something as magnificent.
A team assembles.
Right, so you want the energy. Yes, we're gonna do this. And then I think that's what happened. I remember the day where I basically, for the first time, I was really surprised.
Pieces of the telescope are shown.
The two halves, the primary mirror, the sun shield, they had to come together.
Scientists work on the sun shield.
I knew that was gonna be really hard. They had never seen each other, those two halves. All the systems, all the cables, everything had to work.
The telescope slowly comes together. One scientist holds a flashlight. Another maneuvers the pieces of the telescope.
When the two halves came together, it worked the first time.
A scientist records data. Another smiles under a mask.
The team were just barely where they needed to be, and they were not ahead. And all of a sudden, they got ahead. They were better than what people had expected them to be. That is amazing.
The integrated pieces of the telescope are shown.
We have a mission that's basically ready. If somebody asks me how certain are you to launch Webb right now, I'm betting my house.
The suspended telescope slowly turns. A scientist twists a lock. A team pushes the encapsulated telescope. The telescope is loaded onto a plane. The plane takes off.
All of these years we have put into getting this telescope to the launch pad. Part of me is like, is it really here? Is it really happening?
The plane opens to reveal the telescope. California, police escorts follow the telescope down a street.
I feel excitement and happy nervousness.
A truck loads the telescope onto a boat. The boat sails. An aerial view shows the docked boat. A truck pulls the telescope toward a launch site.
Do I like launches?
Mike.
Well, I like them when they're over. It's like jumping out of a parachute, right? And when the parachute opens, it's always a nice ride.
A view shows the launch site.
We are just about 12 hours from launching. Fingers crossed that the weather holds and we'll be able to launch this telescope tomorrow morning. I can't believe that we're almost here. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get this telescope into space.
Amber appears on a TikTok video. The launch site is shown at night. Dr. Z takes notes.
I write both speeches by myself. I think it's absolutely critical that they're authentic and personal, especially in a time of disappointment. Frankly, that I'm there authentically as a human. So that's important. The positive speech, nobody will remember. It won't matter. I can say whatever I want to. The negative speech really matters. So it's really important to think about it carefully.
Set, cease, sign, cut, stop, still, limite,
go. Words appear, cluster satellite launch.
I remember the first Ariane 5 failure. I still remember how it looked.
Bricolage.
Footage of the launch plays.
I still remember it burn on my head.
The rocket explodes in the air.
tous les paramètres propulsifs sont normaux et la trajectoire est normale.
Dr. Z's pen moves over a notebook.
Today's launch was not successful, and Webb did not reach the orbit as planned.
Footage of the explosion plays in slow motion.
This is a setback for all of us and for science and exploration of our universe.
Fiery debris falls from the sky.
We surely are disappointed.
The debris falls to the Earth.
However, as difficult as the setback we're experiencing right now is, there's one thing that will not change.
People watch the debris from a beach.
Our commitment to the scientific exploration of space.
Dr. Z pauses writing. His hands rest on a table. Lights illuminate an empty control room. Words appear. Launch day, December 25, 2021.
The coolest thing of the decade, possibly the century, is about to happen. The successor to the Hubble, three times as large and way more technologically advanced, is about to be launched. I'm gonna start crying.
A scientist appears in a video.
Feliz Navidad. I got up at 4:50 a.m. this morning to watch the JWST launch.
Just praying to all the science gods that everything goes without a hitch and that in 6 months we'll be able to get this wonderful data. Merry Christmas, everyone.
From the Jupiter Control Center here in Kourou, French Guiana, you are looking live at an Ariane 5 rocket on its launch pad, ready to send the James Webb Space Telescope on the initial phase of its journey.
Dr. Z watches.
Tens of thousands of scientists are watching this launch right now. Their entire future depends on the success of that launch.
Merry Christmas. We're here ready to watch the James Webb Space Telescope launch.
Right now, we have a green board. No issues as the countdown proceeds. No issues again being tracked by the flight control team here in Kourou.
Mike packs a suitcase.
I'm not a very superstitious man, but I am gonna take three Lucky Charms with me today. I have my old man's taxi license.
Mike lifts the items.
I have my grandfather Menzel's bow tie and my grandfather DeLeo's logbook from his when he was a private pilot.
It's all looking very good here at the spaceport for a Christmas day. Launch operations running smoothly, the countdown ticking over nicely. All the systems are green and we are go for launch.
The weather is go. NASA officials carefully watching the telemetry, standing by for terminal count.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The rocket's engine fires up. Light flashes. The rocket lifts. Astrophysicists watch from around the world. The rocket ascends. The rocket picks up speed as it climbs. Scientists in the control room stand. Dr. Z is clapping, wearing a mask. The director of operations is shown. A screen is shown.
And we're about 17 seconds away from Webb separation. Springs will gently push Webb away from the upper stage of the Ariane 5.
The telescope moves through space.
Separation Webb Space Telescope. Go Webb!
The mission chief records data in the control room. Dr. Z hugs a scientist.
Congratulations.
We do have confirmation of observatory separation that will lead to the deployment of Webb's solar array.
The telescope floats through space. Words appear. Using NASA data, the following animation depicts Webb's journey.
Webb will remain on internal battery power until its singular solar array unfurls.
The solar array unfurls. Dr. Z watches from the control room.
The telescope orbits Earth.
Webb now has its array out, confirmation that it is power positive.
Solar array's out.
Scientists celebrate in the control room.
Now we're talking.
Dr. Z high-fives another scientist. The telescope floats further into space.
As it moves to its workplace about a million miles away from Earth, it will be deployed by the telescope controllers at the Mission Operations Center, the MOC as it's called.
Words appear over a building, Mission Operations Center, Baltimore, Maryland, in the flight control room.
Over the next few weeks, Webb will continue deploying its antennas, sunshield, and mirrors. Each procedure, a critical and complicated step to fully assemble the 7-ton telescope.
Scientists watch screens.
The Webb telescope is created by some of the brightest minds in the world, and all of them are going to be watching at the edge of their seat.
If anything goes wrong at any point, there's basically nothing humankind can actually do about it.
Mike sits at a desk. He looks at computer screens.
Everybody's congratulating people here about the launch, and we're all very happy for the congratulations. But we all know that, you know, the hard stuff is yet to come.
Deploying this telescope is like rebuilding an IKEA desk from a million miles away, robotically.
The telescope approaches the moon.
Webb's going about a mile a second. We'll be passing lunar orbit pretty soon, so we're close to 230,000 miles away from us right now.
A model of the telescope in space is shown.
Webb is traveling to the L2 point, a million miles away from the Earth. You're here on the Earth and you want to see faint stars. You don't look at them from the city, you go out to the country. So going out to L2 for us represents going out to the country. And it's a place where the gravity of the sun and the gravity of the Earth can combine to form a stable orbit around the sun.
An orbit simulation is shown.
It took the Apollo astronauts roughly 3 days to go from the Earth to the moon. To get out to the L2 point, it takes us about 30 days. And on its way out there, we're deploying.
The telescope travels through space. A woman walks through the control room.
This is my first deployment. I feel nervous.
Scarlin Hernandez.
Especially with this mission. It can't be serviced, right? So any problems that arise, any challenges, we have to take them head on. There are hundreds of us working in the Mission Operations Center around the clock, especially the flight operations team.
Hundreds of people work on computers.
We're able to communicate with the telescope via this Mission Operations Center. We send commands to the telescope or blocks of code to tell it what to do, what activity to perform. We can't actually see the telescope in space, it's too far. So we have a tool that's an animated model of the telescope where we can see the telescope unfolding.
Scarlin uses a mouse for her computer. She clicks through images of the model.
As a woman, being Latina, it makes me a unicorn in this industry. And I didn't have anyone like me to look up to in this space.
A picture of Scarlin is shown.
I got my NASA badge when I was 19 years old. I didn't expect to get there that fast to such a big and prestigious place. But as soon as I got there, I knew I was gonna make my mark.
Scarlin's computer is shown.
I developed code and procedures for the deployment system. No matter what activity we're performing on orbit, all of those systems combined have to function and flow as one.
Words appear, sunshield deployment 3 days after launch. Single point failures calculated. The numbers stop at 225.
No, if you have that CR is pulled up, you have the first command there. The
engineers work.
Lucy, you're good to go. Copy that. CC, go to execute.
The command line looks good. You're good to execute. Execute.
Rosalind scrolls through data. The telescope sails through space.
Most of the single point failures reside in the sunshield. If these mechanisms don't release, that's a bad day.
Mechanisms slowly release on the telescope. Rosalind stares at her computer.
Okay, Deplete, your motor has moved to the hold state. And you're good to continue. Executing.
The telescope turns in space. Rosalind works at her desk.
Copy, DevOps. I am happy with that move. Continue.
No matter how many tests you do, just like a parachute, it's only going to be as good as the last time you fold it. And you're never going to know how good that is until you jump out of the plane and pull the ripcord.
The telescope solar shield deploys. Mike watches from the control room.
Proceed onto step 031 for the group 6.
Copy on the wind.
And OC, that looks good. You are go to continue.
Go, 50. Go ahead and continue with a go.
Proc looks good. You're good to execute.
The telescope moves in space.
Executing.
You are go to fire.
Copy, go. CC, you have the go to fire.
And OC, you are go to execute deploy. Execute.
Rosalind watches the solar shield deploy through the computer.
I can confirm that all five layers of the sun shield are fully tensioned.
Job well done, Sunshield team.
All right, congratulations, everybody. Congratulations.
Mike stands near his desk.
It was a good day. You know, it was hard to predict, and there it is. Cooling the telescope just the way it should is a beautiful thing.
A screen is shown.
As of right now, we have eliminated 266 of the 344 single-point failures. They cannot fail because they're no longer needed. They work. But you got to maintain the sense of caution because there's still some stuff to go.
The telescope sails through space. Stars surround the telescope. Words appear. Primary mirror deployment, 2 weeks after launch. Single point failures calculate. The number stops at 10. Dr. Z walks into a conference room.
Good morning,
hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Stations at Madrid are green and standing by for the handover.
And OC, DepOps on Ops. DepLead has verified those parameters. We are go with the motor move.
The primary mirror is shown.
If the wings of the primary mirror didn't latch, they would actually vibrate in ways that we didn't want them to. And that vibration would actually show up as a blurring of the image.
Countless stars are shown in the mirror.
We have reached our full preload. So at this time, we are going to proceed onto step 046 to enable and activate SCS 256.
Mike works on a computer.
DepOps, this is DepLead on deployment, and those parameters look good.
Copy. Proceeding with motor move.
The telescope appears on a computer.
Come on, Paul. Pitch it in there.
Dr. Z points to the image. The mirrors on the telescope rotate in space.
Halfway there at 54.
Dr. Z watches the activity from the computer in the conference room.
Look at that.
It's coming in.
Yeah. Going.
Other scientists stand behind Dr. Z. Countless stars move in the mirror's reflection.
95 now. 96. Yeah.
Dr. Z adjusts his mask in the conference room.
There we go. 4.
The mirrors are shown in space.
3, 2, 1.
The images in the mirror begin to slow.
And we have a fully deployed JWST observatory.
Mike stands in the control room. He points at the scientists.
Primary mirror.
Yeah.
Dr. Z wipes his brow in the conference room.
Wow.
God almighty.
How hard was that?
Dr. Z points to a man sitting at the table.
I was looking for you first.
Mike fist bumps an engineer.
Talk to me. How are you feeling about it? Oh, well, the record is it's been going smoother than we ever thought.
But actually see it come together the way it did was beautiful.
Dr. Z stands with Mike.
Everything went so smoothly. Just really exciting. Wanted to pop some champagne, but unfortunately I didn't have any, so.
Rosalind smiles at her desk.
I want to tell you just how excited and emotional I am right now. We have a deployed telescope on orbit. I personally appreciate your sacrifice that you've given to this magnificent telescope, the likes of which the world has never seen. So how does it feel to make history, everybody?
Everyone gathers around Dr. Z. Scientists high-five and lock hands. The telescope floats through space. Amber appears on TikTok.
JDRST has completed all of its major deployments.
Amber appears on TikTok.
Things are going spectacular. We have the biggest, most complex observatory we've ever sent to space, and we can expect some awesome images. Y'all, we did it!
The telescope soars toward a light source in space.
It's hard to conceptualize what those first images will be. I study how galaxies change over time. So I'm interested in how stars form in galaxies and how black holes form and how those processes change over time. So I am most excited for the deep field images. It's in these deep fields that we will be able to see the most distant galaxies.
Stars sparkle in space.
But it's about 1,000,000 miles from Earth. And there is definitely still a lot that could go wrong. There always is.
The telescope is shown on a computer.
There are still 49 single point failure items that never go away. And if any of those single point failure items fails, we can lose the mission.
The Earth is shown from space. Words appear, December 1993.
An embarrassingly blurred Hubble telescope, one of the telescope's two mirrors is thought to be defective, blurring its images.
The Hubble Space Telescope, we turn it on, it was out of focus.
The Hubble's mirror is shown.
Primary mirror. The focal length was wrong. It was a disaster for many scientists that had counted on these images.
To the astronomers working on it at the time, I can't imagine what a letdown that was. It was bad, you know, even for me as a kid, I remember, like, oh, no.
Jeff, you're going to have your hands full. You might want to go ahead and put your helmet lights on.
An astronaut wears a helmet. Mm-hmm. The Hubble floats.
Astronauts went up there and included a little optical piece, almost a little glasses, right, that fixed that focal length.
An image of a galaxy comes into focus.
Hey! One bright
right pixel. There.
There.
Oh.
It's
Whoa.
Did it. The Webb telescope moves through space. The hard part about Webb, it's too far away. If there's any problem, we cannot send astronauts to fix it.
Words appear. Telescope alignment 40 days after launch.
We'll align the telescope, essentially refocusing it. That's a complicated process.
Data appears on a computer screen. The Webb's mirrors are shown.
The ghost of Hubble definitely haunts this team and has for decades.
Stars are reflected in the Webb's mirrors.
Many of my mentors were involved in Hubble, and they all warned me about what that bad day is like. That is public, it's visible, it's ugly, and you don't want to live through that.
Mike walks through a crowded conference room.
So over the last few hours, we have taken a bunch of lens calibration data to measure the state of the telescope. Literally none of us have looked at this yet.
Scientists gather in front of a screen.
There we go. Galaxies all over.
There are a lot more galaxies than there are stars.
It is just gorgeous and sharp. It's not supposed to be.
Mike lifts a bottle of champagne. He pops the cork. Images of space are shown on screens.
6 months after the most powerful telescope ever made launched into space, the team inside the Webb Space Telescope's flight control room is preparing to reveal what astronomers all over the world have been waiting for decades. The telescope's first full-color images.
Alyssa Pagan, science visuals developer.
You think this is like the best sort of orientation for this grouping?
I've tried different rotations, but because it is like basically a square, we can kind of do whatever we want, right?
That infrared information is giving us so much more details that we could get with the Hubble in the visible. But to actually see it, and you're like, there's no doubting it now.
The raw material that we get from the telescope starts out as a black and white image. And then I dive down into the pixels and make the color image pop as much as possible.
Joseph DePasquale.
Because really the job is trying to unearth the richness and the complexity of the data without changing anything in the data. It's all there. The universe is like sort of hiding in the darkness and we have to bring it out. The colors in the image are really important. They have astrophysical meaning. We work with the scientists directly on this and get their take on what they're seeing in these images. This is the red channel of the image. Although it's black and white, this is when I combine everything in color, this will be red. And so every distant galaxy in here, all these faint, fuzzy objects, these are going to be the ones that show up and really pop as red. Then I can bring in the green channel here, and now you're seeing, as a color comes to life, just red and green. And the greens are confined more to the sort of nearby galaxies and, of course, the stars. And then when I bring in the short wavelengths in blue, the image comes to life.
Galaxies change colors.
These images have been so precious. They're like our children, and like we've been like, you know, nurturing them, trying to get them ready for when they're revealed to the world. I think that's just an important moment, because it's not just an important feat for science. I think it's an important feat for humanity. And I think it's like a very exciting time, and to be a part of something that I think is so important is just a huge honor.
Image release day, July 11, 2022.
Today, our understanding of the universe is about to get more clear.
Yes, it is. President Biden's going to unveil the much anticipated first full color image from NASA's Webb Space Telescope.
NASA headquarters, Washington, D.C.
I think we should start with the image that the president is unveiling tonight, if that's okay.
Bill Nelson.
This is what we call Webb's first deep field.
Klaus Pontoppidan.
This was the original reason for the observatory. And we think this is the deepest view of the universe so far. So
Klaus flips through images. Bill sits next to Klaus.
Please.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
So the deepest Hubble images took weeks to do. We did this in a few hours. What you see is a massive galaxy cluster.
When we look at a swirl like that, is that an entire galaxy?
That's an entire galaxy. Every point you see here almost is a galaxy. There's more than 7,000 in this picture.
Galaxies that we did not...
7,000 in this picture?
Mm-hmm. The size of this field is if you take a grain of sand and you hold it out.
Yeah.
That's the angle. It's a tiny field in the sky. And everywhere else we have looked, the sky is filled with galaxies. We see them immediately. See the little red dot there?
Yes.
Is the most distant one we found.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
13.1 billion years.
Wow.
And we're going to show that in the
package. And the universe is 13.8 billion years old. When I describe this to the president, what do you want me to tell him?
What you're looking at is our own origin and the origin of every galaxy and star in the universe.
That's our history, right there.
It is our whole history here.
Our whole history is right there.
The more that we find this cosmos is so large, I want to know who I am and what I am. And how do I fit in all of this?
The White House is shown.
Today is a historic day for America and all of humanity.
President Biden.
We're going to get a glimpse of the oldest documented light in the history of the universe from over 13 billion, let me say that again, 13 billion years ago. It's hard to even fathom. And now let's take a look at the very first image from this miraculous telescope.
A picture of galaxies appears. Words appear over the picture. Webb's first deep field. Neil deGrasse Tyson appears on TikTok.
Oh my gosh, the first image from the James Webb Space Telescope. And here it is, galaxies to the edge of time. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Amber appears on TikTok. She reacts to one of the first images from the Webb telescope.
Wow. It really is amazing. Oh my God.
A woman named Sierra reacts on TikTok to the images.
I have no words.
Bill Nye.
The whole thing is a bit mind-boggling, everybody. This is just fantastic.
Oh, see the arcs.
Yeah.
It's a lens, right?
It's a pretty cool photo.
It's
just gorgeous.
Oh my God.
Astrophysicists around the world react.
James Webb.
The reaction of myself and all my colleagues was of sheer joyful amazement. That image made us giddy when we saw it. We knew in our hearts that whatever's out there, we're going to see it.
Words appear, Goddard Space Center, Greenbelt, Maryland. Dr. Z sits in a crowded room.
So let's get ready to reveal our image.
Mike watches the screen.
There it is. It's called Stefan's Quintet, and it's wondrous.
Oh.
Giovanni, what do you think?
Falling through the sunshine. It's like fog.
Clusters of galaxies appear on the screen. Words appear. Stefan's Quintet, 290 million light years away. White clouds house stars. Words appear. Pillars of Creation, 6,500 light years away.
The Pillars of Creation is a star-forming region within our Milky Way galaxy. Each of the dots of light that we're seeing in this image is a star, not unlike our own sun. We, our own solar system, and even ourselves were born out of this same material that we're seeing in these beautiful images. The iron in our blood and the calcium in our bones was literally formed out of a star that exploded billions of years ago.
Words appear, Hubble Telescope.
Newborn stars are enshrouded in dust. We need to be able to see through that dust. And infrared light allows us to do that.
Words appear over an image of a galaxy. Phantom Galaxy, 32 million light years away. A nebula flashes.
This is a dying star in its last gasp of its life.
The image rotates. Another nebula appears. Tarantula Nebula, 170,000 light years away. A swirling red galaxy appears. Cartwheel Galaxy, 500 million light years away.
This beautiful view of the Cartwheel Galaxy gives us a closer look at what happens when galaxies collide.
Mountainous-looking clouds house stars. Words appear. Carina Nebula, 7,600 light years away. A red planet appears. Artist rendering of exoplanet WASP-39b, 700 light years away.
The new discoveries from JWST in the field of exoplanet science are just incredible. There was this recent discovery of carbon dioxide in a gas giant planet orbiting a sun-like star about 700 light years away. It really is the first clear, detailed evidence for carbon dioxide ever detected in a planet outside the solar system.
A graph is superimposed over the red planet.
Still, it just blows me away.
Amber sorts through the images on her computer.
It's overwhelming. I mean, yeah, it's a bit overwhelming.
Amber's eyes search the images. She cups her hands near her chin.
I think it's such a good example of what, you know, what we humans can do when we work together for something good. There's so much bad in the world right now. It's a really tough time.
Amber rubs her face.
And this is good. This is a little bit of light in what is otherwise a little bit of a dark time, I think, for sure.
Amber bites her bottom lip. She scrolls through images from the telescope. A blue, purple, and green planet appears.
Webb. It's a demonstration of what's possible when we come together and do something hard.
Dr. Z sits on a couch.
10,000 people, all of them with strengths and weaknesses, all of them with many reasons why it shouldn't work, coming together as an excellent team and being successful at it.
A nebula is shown.
We can do that. Imagine all the other problems we can solve. For me, it's that hope that is up there in space now, right? Kind of demonstrating its power every day.
Blue, purple, and red nebulas are shown side by side.
We made history that we're looking back 13 and a half billion years.
Rosalind is shown.
I feel proud. I feel filled with hope. You know, because these images today just show the world that there's so much more to explore in the universe and how we're connected. This is only the beginning.
Web images appear on buildings in Times Square, New York.
I hope I can tell my grandkids that I was on the team that built the telescope. It'll solve the really, really big question, right? Are we alone or not?
Mike sits in his confessional.
Every space telescope that's been put up has found something they just didn't anticipate. And I hope with something the size of James Webb that, you know, we see something completely, completely unexpected.
The Webb telescope soars toward a cluster of stars and galaxies in space. Words appear. In late 2022, Webb made its first discovery of an exoplanet, a previously unknown Earth-sized planet 41 light-years away. The data from the James Webb Space Telescope is available for anyone in the world to use. NASA initially required the mission to last 5 years. Today, it's projected to last over a decade. Audio description provided by VSI. Audio description scriptwriter, Meredith Allen. Audio description voice talent, Michael Orenstein. Credits roll. Copyright 2023, Netflix. Bright lights create a pattern that becomes two words. Story Syndicate.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.